It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Utah Weekly Forum. I'm your host, Rebecca Cressman, and I guess I should start with aloha, because today we're going to be talking about a fantastic movie called Waterman, and I guess I could call it a documentary as well. Joining us is the director, Isaac Halasima. Isaac, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Aloha to you.
Aloha. Now, as soon as I saw Waterman at the formerly referred to as the LDS Film Festival, it was the movie that premiered the event, I told everybody, you've got to go see the movie when it comes to Utah box offices. Yes, Jason Momoa really is the narrator of Waterman. But Isaac, where can we see the movie now?
From what I understand, it's going to be pretty much everywhere the Megaplexes play, and I think some of the Cinemarks. I can't say all of them, but yeah, starts out this weekend, and then we just see how long it stays.
Right. And then I believe that they can follow you at @Waterman_movie. And there'll be a lot of updates there as well. All right. Let's talk about the movie, because I grew up in a surfing culture in Southern California, in San Diego. I was a terrible surfer. But those of us who grew up around the surf culture knows that there really is a spirit of how we're supposed to treat each other and treat nature while we're out in the water. You know, to be generous, to take turns, to help one another, to chill out, to relax, and enjoy the beauty of the world around you. And when I watched your movie, it actually instructed me that that culture came because of one legendary man known as the father of surfing, Duke Kahanamoku. And am I pronouncing his last name, Kahanamoku, correctly at all?
Yeah, well, and I'll give you a little trick, too, on Polynesian pronunciations. We didn't actually have written languages until the Latin-speaking people came. And when they translated the Bible, they used Latin vowels. So if you know Spanish, and like how the Spanish vowels go, you can usually pronounce anything in Hawaiian or Tongan or all of us, because it kind of follows the same rule. So yeah, Kahanamoku.
Well, that makes sense, because Spanish is my second language. So that's...
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Just ride with it there. This is a story of, honestly, you know, one of my heroes. He's one of the most important Polynesians, I think, to live, especially in the modern era. And he really set the standard for what the world saw when they saw Polynesians. It's, he did so many incredible things throughout his life. It's almost hard to just, like, pick a thing at times. Surfing is probably the most famous because it is the one that, you know, he popularized it. Australia, they got all sorts of, in fact, there's monuments all over the world because of it, you know. But that's usually where I start off most of my conversations when I did interviews with people, is I would just ask. I'd ask, you know, how many American athletes do you know of have monuments and statues dedicated to them in three different countries? And no one could ever answer anybody besides Duke Kahanamoku, this guy that has somehow kind of slipped under the radar. And so the goal is to get him back out there, put him back out there, you know. And you know, I don't know if you know the story of how I kind of came where my uncle came to me about doing this, but it's been a quest, that's for sure, to get this guy out there. I think part of the reason he slipped under the radar over time is because a lot of people know parts of his story, but to put a big chunk of them together in one place really puts a light on the amazing things that he was able to do.
Well, and let's go back in time, because as I sat in the theater and began to watch this story, people might have an idea of what a documentary feels like. But this is going to surprise you, because it is so entertaining, so fast moving, so beautifully shot. The scenes around the ocean are just incredible. And yet it's the storyline that makes it one of the best movies I've ever watched, really.
And
hats off to you, because this is Duke, was he born in the late 1800s? Talk to us about when he lived.
Yeah, that's probably the most interesting part about it, is he was born when Hawaii was still a kingdom ruled by the queen. And so he was born in 1890, and then and the kingdom fell shortly after that. So if anyone should have had probably a bad taste in their mouth over the world and the westernization of everything around him, it should have been him. But he embraced it and found a way to turn it to his favor. You know, it really is the story of one of Hawaii's greatest warriors figuring out how to win America's heart and then conquer the world.
Well, and he went on to become an Olympic gold medalist over and over again and treated like Hollywood royalty. But getting there and proving that a Hawaiian was really the fastest swimmer in the world, that was kind of hard for him, right?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the fun stories to go to, is just to go deal with the fact that the first time he decided to race ever in like an official race, it was the first time the AAU held a race in Hawaii. He goes and breaks a world record by 4 seconds, and just how huge of a number that is to break a world record was just shocking as it was. But it was his first time trying, and it's funny when you hear the Hawaiians tell the story. They're like, "Oh yeah, he was just out there just playing, having fun." And it's like, yeah, and he destroyed a world record in the process, and so of course, you know, they had to see if it was real. You know, it's kind of the fun part of the story that it's so big that the rest of the mainland and everybody's like, okay, that wasn't right. Hawaii obviously doesn't know how to work a watch or a clock, and so let's send him out and see if he can do it again. And you know, it takes a little time. His first time out there, it's one of the stories not a lot of the Hawaiians I noticed knew, is that he actually, you know, traveling across the country and then having to perform right off of a train and boat and 2-week ride and food he'd never had before was going to affect him, especially the fact that he'd never swam in a pool in his life until that moment. And him swimming in a pool, is kind of a side note, is a big deal in that era, because it wasn't something that anybody, a person of color, could normally do. So just the fact that he was allowed to do that right off the bat said a lot about just the effect he was going to have on people. But yeah, he gets in there at Pittsburgh and it cramps up and just doesn't show. And that's kind of where the story really, really takes off for me, because with Duke, I think he wasn't always comfortable with fame, and he wasn't always comfortable with being just the limelight, but he found a way to be comfortable with it, because he discovered that, you know, he could share aloha with people. He could teach them about his culture, teach them about Hawaii. He could represent Hawaii. And so in a moment when he failed in Pittsburgh is when he humbles himself, and a random coach is there and says, you know what, this guy's got something, tells Duke to try a couple things, and Duke does them perfectly immediately. And that coach is like, all right, let's work on this. And Duke ends up staying alone in Pittsburgh, this guy from Hawaii, and spending a couple months with this coach, coaching him for free. It was George Kessler, the head coach of Penn. And what's funny about Kessler is after all this, he would end up setting up NCAA swimming, as we know it today, to help become a feeder for the Olympics. So this starts a whole chain of events that we all live with today. And Duke, after 2 months, becomes unstoppable, and just, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, it's kind of funny too, because I don't know if we ever really know how fast Duke was. That's the funny part about it. This guy that was a surfer by trade, you know, he loved rowing and surfing, was just using techniques he did on a surfboard in his swimming. And so when people ask, how did you learn how to do this? He's like, oh, it's just in my blood. It's just what I do, you know. And he ends up transforming the world because of the way he kicks, because of the way he strokes. He goes into the Olympics and just dominates.
And it's just incredible to watch on the big screen. I'm Rebecca Kressman, and if you've just joined us, today our guest is Isaac Halasima. He's the director of Waterman, the new movie that's premiering here in Utah. And while it's here at theaters, you're going to want to go. You're going to want to bring your friends, bring your children. Because honestly, watching Waterman, the movie, made me feel like I wanted to be a better human being. And yes, it was an incredible story of a humble man born in the kingdom of Hawaii way back in the 1890s. But the life he led and the example he set for the world is just incredible. And even though you might not recognize the name Duke Kahanamoku now, he was one of the most famous men in the world 100 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, he was the biggest deal in the world. And the irony is that he was a brown guy. He was a brown man. You know, and this is an era when, you know, the Ku Klux Klan was at the top of what they did. And it was it was an era when the U.S. was very, very, very segregated. And it's just, and that's part of the fun of the story, I think, is seeing how Duke was able to navigate that to the point where he wasn't even seen as a person of color per se. He was seen as a Hawaiian. He was one of the first Polynesians the world had really seen at this level. And he would set a standard for all Polynesians after. So for a guy like me, someone that's, you know, Polynesian myself, he's a big deal, because it's fun to see where that standard came from, where where it all came. Because, you know, when people talk about Polynesians, you know, usually it's like, oh, yeah, they're those really athletic, nice people. And I think that can be easily directed back to Duke as the first man on the stage for the world. And yeah, he did. It wasn't just one Olympics. He ended up going to four. And what I love is that there's a lot of legend on Duke. So some will say four, some will say five, some will say eight, you know, there's a lot of twist in it, but you can't get a good American story without a little bit of legend tossed in there, you know? And it's really fun just to see, and especially, I mean, he's a hero. You know, when I really chase this down, and I guess I don't want to give too much of the movie away, but I'll talk about anything you want to talk about, but it's just that, you know, I hope people, when they finish watching this film, they'll realize that, you know, one of my goals on this, that was, you know, anytime we talk about Jesse Owens, Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, or Jim Thorpe, that Duke Hanamoku was right there in the conversation. You know, he's one that slipped under the radar, that when you really see what he did, to know that things like lifeguarding, as we know it today off the coast of California, started with Duke. You know, when you look at the way we swim, starting with Duke, surfing around the world, being as popular as it is, starting with Duke. You know, it's interesting. Like, we interviewed like Kelly Slater in this one, you know, the 11-time world champion. At one point, you know, magazines calling him the greatest surfer ever to live. And even he's like, whoa, 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 don't forget Duke. You know, and it's like, you know, this is the champ of all champs. And if anyone that's ever met Kelly knows, he is a competitive beast. He wants to win everything. And I love it. I love being around people like that. But when it came to honoring Duke, he wasn't going to let that slip by. I just think it's really cool.
You know, what was interesting for me, too, is I sat watching that movie and I married someone who had competed towards the Olympics for the country of Canada. Dale had to teach me how to swim a correct stroke in a pool because I learned in the ocean. But he also taught me so much about how crucial techniques were, swimming competitively, the type of stroke, the type of kick, the swiftness of your underwater turns. And Duke grew up in the ocean. There's no wall for him to touch and turn. So we get to see so much of the strength that Duke had as an athlete. But when you finish the movie, what really stays with you is the lessons of the type of person Duke was.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that was the graciousness, the generosity, the kindness, that love and encouragement and working and helping each other, that spirit of aloha. Everybody can be family. It will make you feel like, oh, I can be a better human being by tapping into the true story in life of yeah. Duke Hanamoku.
Well, you know, it's funny, when I jumped into this, I never thought it would play in theaters. I never thought it would have a shot at something like that, you know, and it's really cool to have producers like I do. You know, they first, you know, the way this fell into my lap story wise was that my uncle made the statue of Duke Hanamoku on the beach at Waikiki. It's one of the most famous statues in the world now. And it was one thing that he had suggested that I try to do is tell this story because no one was telling it. And then my uncle had passed away a little after that. And that's when I started chasing it. And eventually I landed on some producers that these guys are just incredible. And they had actually fallen into this story in their own way. So we connected and they just kind of let me run with this. And the fact that they let me run with it, I actually worked at KSL TV for a long time, and I was kind of famous for doing way too much with my news packages.
So, I saw one of our former, because with FM 100.3, KSL TV yes. is downstairs. It's our broadcast family. And I saw one of our yes. former sports reporters at the premiere with me at the film festival, and he said, you know, he used to work for us.
Yeah, well, I grew up there, man. I started there when I was 13, so I literally spent my teenage years and just growing up there. But I always wanted to put a cinematic edge onto the things that I did because, I don't know, it just makes things more memorable, and I love movies. And so if I could put movies into what I was doing, then I'd do it. And so when these guys asked me, you know, well, would you do a doc on this? I'm like, can I make it like a movie? And that's what we did. You know, because we had to recreate some of the most amazing things that Duke did, you know, the rescue off of the coast of California being one of them. And I was like, if you let me go crazy on those, then yeah, I'll make a doc. But I want it to be so cinematic that if it ever did play in a theater, people would feel like it was worth it. Because it's, you know, his story already is the natural hero's journey. It's just an incredible story. So to be able to play with it and to just be able to do things to make it, powerful. I think one thing that gets me is that Duke, you know, he was in, what, 26 movies when he was in the black and white era, in an era where they would rather paint someone a different color than hire them to play the part, you know. And here was Duke in all these movies, but the one thing he never really got was to be a Hollywood star. So to do this, I was like, okay, well, I want an orchestra to be scored underneath this whole thing. And then these scenes, they just got to feel like, it's got to feel like Superman. Because Duke, to me, was Superman growing up. You know, I'm lucky my uncle made the statue because I knew who he was. And so it was really fun to just try to push the envelope a little bit. And then lo and behold, my producers were like, hey, we're going to try to get this in the theaters. I'm like, oh, hey, doc in the theaters. You know, I've seen it work before. You know, Mr. Rogers, I think when that doc came out, showed that the world really wants to just feel good sometimes.
Absolutely.
And so, and I think Duke is right there with that kind of personality, because his whole message was, hey, we can get along, we can be happy. It's like he knew, it's like he figured out how to be happy in life. It's the wildest thing. And you almost get jealous at times. It's like, I wish I could figure out how to be that nice. And mm-hmm. that's cool.
Yeah. And you know what? And there's a part of me that thinks that grounding himself in nature, grounding himself in the water, grounding himself in those kind of basic elements of life absolutely can help us kind of keep grounded and remember and appreciate the power of this world around us, of the natural world around us, and our peace in that. And I appreciate that you have shared, indeed, the movie Waterman does show on the big screen the challenges that people of color faced in the early 1900s and beyond. And here is a man who is legendary, Olympic winner. He's in movies, and his dream is to become the star. And yet he is held back from that. The main film star, he's held back from that. And I'll even mention Tarzan. He's held back from that dream because of the color of his skin. So you touch and tell the truth of the limitations that he has and that other people of color had, but you show that he did walk that bridge. He was able to bridge a gap between those who were prejudiced against people of color. And that is fascinating. And a lot of it has to do with his personality, his celebrity and stardom and the way he treated other people.
Yeah, well, you know, in really the spirit of aloha, when you really break down aloha, which we do in the film, you know, a lot of people, it's, oh, hello, goodbye, that's fine. But aloha is so much more. It's such a layered word. Really, the Hawaiian language is just layers of emotions and meanings inside of, you know, the words that they use. And aloha is one where alo means to give of yourself, and then ha is your spirit. So it's like you're getting part of your spirit to another when you say that. And if you really truly believe that you just gave that person a part of you, then you now want them to like enjoy that. You want them to be proud of that thing you just gave them. You want them to see you differently. And you want, it's wild that how much love the Hawaiians have for others throughout all that they went through throughout history. You know, it's, you know, at the beginning of the doc, we blast, 3,000 years of Hawaiian history in about 5 minutes at you. And it's because it's all part of Duke's story. But it's important to know. And it's really heartbreaking at times to see. But we give you the heartbreak so that you know how high the highs are. You don't know unless you know how low the lows were. And it's just a special place. And it's amazing. Duke, with this one goal he had, his one creed, to teach the world aloha, you look at what happened. Like, this little teeny island nation in the middle of the Pacific Islands has one of the most famous words in the world, you know, and you can take that back to Duke. And and I'm sure there's lots of others that play into it, of course, but it's Duke that pushed this. And he thought it was important. And when we showed this in Hawaii, you could tell the Hawaiians really just were so proud of someone that loved his culture so much and just got it.
And if you just tuned in, I'm Rebecca Cressman, and today we're talking to film director Isaac Halasima. And his name might be familiar to you because, yes, he co-wrote and directed The Last Descent, which was that just harrowing, incredibly moving movie about the attempted rescue of John Edward Jones from Nutty Putty Cave right off of Utah Lake. That movie was incredible. His new movie is called Waterman, the story of Duke Kahanamoku. And it's a film everyone will love, whether you grew up surfing or you've never been to the ocean before, or whether you traveled and loved the culture of Hawaii. Maybe if you've competed in sports and you want to see what great sportsmanship can look like, or if you just want a story that shows how one person pushed through so many obstacles and never lost his love and faith in mankind and made the world a better place because of that. You're going to want to see this movie because Duke's life is so inspiring.
Well, I think it's one of those things where it just feels so good to know that good people like that existed, you know, and it's maybe it is the perfect time to bring them out back out to the world, do whatever we can. You know, who knows how big this will, what this will do in the theaters. I hope that it goes a long time, but it's mostly because I think people could really hear this message and really, really feel what this man was trying to do. He changes people. It's weird to see someone that was so nice effortlessly. You know, I could tell you a small story real quick that kind of shows how he was. There was one of my favorites. Fred Hemmings told it, and it was at a surf competition out in California. There was a guy that took second place, and Duke was one handing out the trophies. And when he handed this guy the second place trophy, the guy walked off the stage and just smashed it in a garbage can. And of course, the guys around Duke were like, "All right, Duke, we're going to kill that guy. So we'll be right back." And Duke just looks at him and goes, no. He's like, isn't it great how much he cares? And it just like jaw drop on everybody. They're like, oh, my gosh, you're right. Where did we lose perspective on this? You know, being able to see things, the best of things, really starts to draw out the best in people around you. And when you look at Duke's life, so many people, it wasn't just Duke alone, but people, good people, came out of the woodwork for him. And it's this ability to draw them to him that was a huge part of his success. And then his ability to just do something with it. You know, he wouldn't let people down. Even after the Olympics, when you hear him talking, he's like, "I got to make good to Hawaii for helping me get to where I was." You know, he's as incredible as he was, he never forgot what he represented and who believed in him. And it's good to know people like that live.
Yeah, and that the people of Hawaii, as humble as they were back in the early 1900s, in particular when I talk about economically, they're the ones that funded and made it possible for him to get on the world stage. And that, I'm curious, we have about 4 minutes left together, Isaac. You mentioned that those in Hawaii who see or who have seen the movie Waterman, they felt a sense of pride. What else did you hear from Hawaiians after they watched Waterman?
You know, honestly, the one that kind of gets me is how many Hawaiians said they didn't know the whole story. And it says a lot really about Duke, because he didn't talk about himself and he shied away from it. So a lot of times the stories were only told by people there in moments with him. When he became huge in surfing, that's the story that took over, and slowly the Olympic success kind of faded off into history. But it surprised me at that one the most, but also to see Hawaiians so proud of just aloha, just of a word that seems like just a simple word to so many, but to them really does have a deeper meaning. And to have the man himself remind them really meant a lot. There was a bunch of the old Beach Boys that came to one of the screenings we had out there, and it was a big tear fest with me and them and all of us, because it's just fun to see them come to life. It's like they were back in that time, that era when Duke made sure everyone felt good, because they were on cloud nine, and it was tears of joy. You know, it was crazy. You know, I feel kind of bad. It seems like Last Descent and now this one, I'm kind of aiming for tearjerkers, I guess, but it's really happy the Hawaiians have jumped on board with this and really helped push it out. I mean, they carried it to number one already in the documentary on the charts, and it's only Hawaii right now. So it just shows how much they love their guy.
Well, congratulations on that, knowing it's at number one right now. It is the story of Duke Kahanamoku, the story of Hawaii, the story that I think every human being in the world needs to watch right now. It's called Waterman, and we've been chatting with the director, Isaac Halasima. And Isaac, you are from Hawaiian or Tongan or which Polynesian, all of it together?
My dad immigrated from Tonga to Laie, where my mom was, and she was living with my uncle who made the statue. So, yeah, I'm a Tongan descent on that side, and I'm a Monson on the other side. So that's kind of fun. But,
what an incredible way to bring that family history connection to the box office and to the world. What a great way to extend the legacy of your uncle who made the sculpture of Duke in Waikiki and hoped someday that you would tell Duke's story.
Yeah.
You just nailed it. It's just absolutely beautiful, Waterman. Isaac, thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of Utah Weekly Forum.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a real honor. And again, a shout out again to everybody that was a part of this, because it's so such a good feeling to be able to make. Movies are hard. It's fun to have them. But yeah, Sidewinder Films, the guys behind this, I love them. I'm so glad we can be here talking because of them.
Absolutely. And the cinematography in Waterman is absolutely incredible, especially those surf and ocean scenes.
And it helps to have Jason's voice guiding you through this whole story, too. Jason Momoa has just got a great voice for this kind of story, and as a Hawaiian. So it's great.
And Jason Momoa does a great job as the narrator as well. The movie is Waterman. You can get more info at watermanthemovie.com.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.